You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
All right. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody. And I'm just so thankful to Todd, to the Film Festival, Asbury College. I've never been here before, so this is my first time. It's really awesome. What a great campus, what a great history that this lovely institution has. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about purpose. This is something that may be very relevant for many of you. I'm talking like I'm in here, but I got this. I think I should be using this. This is on, right? Okay. And I do have PowerPoints because it helps me. I'm not a, you know, I wasn't raised to be a speaker. I was raised to be a drawer. And so I have a clicker. Aha, there it is. Okay, let's start here. With the clicks and the clicks. Oh, I'm going through it. Sorry. I thought they said it was going to be like here and I could see it and I don't see it. Okay. Let me go back to the clicks. Anyway, how many seniors do we have in the room here? So who's graduating real soon? Let's see your hands. Yeah. That feels good. So I'm teaching at Lipscomb University right now. I teach animation there. And so my seniors are sitting in the seats that you are right now. They have that, you know how it is. You got that feeling of like that certain sense of excitement, no more school, love it, love it, love it. And then it's also that dread of life begins. What does God have for me? That searching feeling, that feeling of wonder and excitement is in high demand right now, I'm sure, for you. So I'm going to take you through my own feelings of how I found my purpose or my call, and also how it was that I, well, that's me with hair. I love these, actually, pictures. You don't have to read it all, but the pictures are fun because it takes me back to a better time when I was like, I was skinny and had hair, and that was me on the left there, and I shared a room with my twin brother. My brother Tom also had the talent for drawing and stuff, and we, just like iron, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron, that's how we were as twins. You know, we would always, we didn't play football, we didn't play, you know, basketball or anything like that, but we would draw over each other's drawings all the time to try and really improve our craft. And we were hard on each other, but it's really what pushed us. And we had this dream, both of us, to work in comic books or something with art and drawing cartoons. And that was always my, and then I found out about CalArts, and my brother and I both got accepted into California Institute of the Arts, which is the college started by the Walt Disney Company. And all of a sudden we were on this path of animation. I went from comic books, comic strips, animation. I wanted to tell stories. God gave me this gift and opportunity to tell stories and to create characters, and I loved it. I loved drawing characters. Charles Schulz was one of my idols. Chuck Jones was one of my idols that created Bugs Bunny, and Charles Schulz from the Peanuts. So I was off and running. Tom and I used to compete for our mom's attention with our drawings and that sort of thing. But when I was growing up, I went to a Baptist church. I was a Christian at a very young age. And the pastor, I remember calling from the pulpit saying, you could be called into ministry, and you could be called to Botswana at any moment to build and construct houses and do ministry in Botswana. And I was afraid of that calling. I was like, Lord, please don't call me into ministry. And I grew up in a missionary Baptist. It was a very staunch missionary Baptist church. And so I always thought that, you know, just sitting in the pew, God was targeting me in some way to do something that I was like, no, I want to draw cartoons. I was kind of resisting any, I didn't go on missionary trips. I was a lame duck Christian, I will say that, because I never even wanted to go that way because I was afraid of where I might get called to and away from what I was passionate about, what I loved, which was cartooning, storytelling, and that sort of thing. So I did. I went off to college into CalArts and met all kinds of goofy friends, and we made cartoons together, and we learned about what it was to tell stories that would resonate on a universal level. That's what Disney films are all about, is what are the themes, what are the lessons learned on a universal level, right? And sure, they're not always Christian values, but they're usually good moral values, and so I felt pretty secure there. And I say cartoons and Cinnabons because CalArts, on the other hand, was like the Las Vegas of animation schools, and everything that was sinful seemed to happen around me and my brother. That's my brother there. I have the beard and the lower one there, and he's next to me. We were both very obnoxious guys, I think. But you can't really see too well, but that top left folder or photo, the guy on the right left that has a red shirt on is Pete Docter, who is one of the main directors at Pixar Animation and now runs Pixar Animation. He was in my class. But it was a great time of growing artistically. And then I got the call. My brother and I both tried out for an internship, and we got called into working at Disney. And there was a Florida studio in Orlando, Florida, that had just opened. And we became like employees number 12 and 13 of this brand new studio in Orlando, Florida. It was part of the Disney MGM theme park, if you've ever been there. And we were basically a tourist attraction, just on people would walk through and tap on the glass and watch us draw. We called it the fishbowl for obvious reasons. But that was my first job at Disney, and so I was super happy, and I felt like I started working on films like Beauty and the Beast. I did Cogsworth the Clock there, or I did Iago in Aladdin. And because of that, I started to become known as the comedy guy. I was always working on comedy characters, because back then, the directors of the films would cast you an animator based on their skill sets. And so it was like being a live action actor being cast for a role in a very specific way. For me, I was always comedy characters. So that's what I dove into. And I loved it because I felt so satisfied when I'd go to the movie theater and sit in a big theater like this and be watching Beauty and the Beast, and people would laugh at my Cogsworth scene. And I immediately knew that I connected, that I did my job right because I heard the laughter. Some people like hearing the crying and stuff like that. I like hearing the laughter. Supervising animator at 24 on The Lion King. So God had me on this trajectory that I didn't quite understand. I was, most people would say in a non-Christian way, I was in the right place at the right time, because in the 90s, things were blossoming and blowing up for Disney animation. Every film was making more money than the last, more money than the last. And it was this upward trajectory, of course. And as we get to The Lion King, you'll see that's where it really peaked. But for me, as a young animator, I was just trying to kind of keep above water. And so I got offered the role of Pumbaa in The Lion King. And like I said, at 24, very young, having never really supervised a character before like that, it was a huge opportunity. I didn't feel worthy. I felt like an imposter. You'll see that's a common theme in my career. And so, I'm skipping ahead a little bit here too. So I went on from The Lion King, and I got noticed by some of the upper executives at Disney, and I couldn't figure it out, but they asked me to co-direct with a good buddy of mine and a local Lexington resident now, Barry Cook. And I think he's actually spoken here once or something. But Barry Cook and I became co-directors. And so I was on this trajectory that had really never been done before. And I was, as a Christian, I'm like, well, God's really blessing me, and things are going, I guess I'm doing what he wants for me in my life. I must be following the path that he has for me. And so I didn't question it. I just tried to roll with the punches. But yes, at that time period at Disney, it usually took 5 years to become a seasoned animator. You know, and there's a whole mentoring system that they had there. It usually was 10 years to be a supervising animator, which is what I did on Pumbaa. I was over that character and supervised other animators that drew Pumbaa. And then it could be 15, 20 years, if it happens, to become a director at Disney. And I was there for 5 years before they asked me to direct Mulan. I was the youngest director in Disney history that I could see at 28 years old. That's me and Barry up in the left-hand corner. I wish that was bigger. But all of a sudden, I was in a situation where I was also the most unknowledgeable Disney director in the history of animation. And so I was learning all the way, and I had to learn the hard way about what it was to be a director and supervise other people. Actually, that picture in the lower right is me and Barry with Mark Henn in the middle. Mark Henn was my mentor when I was earlier and younger at Disney. And so I had left the Florida studio, went away, did Lion King, things like that, came back to the studio, and now I was his boss, the guy that trained me, and that was really tough. He didn't like that. He didn't like that at all. I kind of liked it. I thought it was fun, but he did not like that at all. And as nice of a guy as he was, he made it hard for me. And a lot of people did. A lot of people made it hard for me because they remembered me as the goofball twin to Tom that was just a young punk, when I first started. And now all of a sudden I'm in charge of this, $100 million Disney feature. I was already struggling with how do I deal with that? How do I step into those shoes? And then on top of it, to have Mark, who was like a father figure to me early on, giving me a hard time and making me feel less than, really made it difficult. It was a roller coaster of doubt and blessings at the same time. It was a really good time and it was a hard time. And every day seemed to be different, where I was really questioning myself of why me? Why did this happen? And also battling with this imposter syndrome kind of state of mind. Also going back from this is a true blessing and showing, and I feel God's hand is in my life and I feel purpose for the first time ever. And yet it was hard and it was difficult and I felt like I was failing all the time. I did my best. My brother, that's a good picture of my brother and I was his boss too. That was a big perk, big perk. Loved being my brother's boss. He did Mushu in Mulan. He was the supervising animator of Mushu. And yes, nepotism lives on. I went back in animation after Mulan. It was a big success. It did pretty well in the market, but I got an itching. I grew up wanting to draw cartoons for a living, so I missed that instead of going to meetings constantly as a director. So I asked to go back into animation, and I had two choices at that time. I was a comedy guy, like I said before, so literally Disney was like, well, we got Treasure Planet going on right now, there was an overlap, or we have this new movie called Kingdom of the Sun, which became The Emperor's New Groove. And with the change, I came on right on the change of that, and they had this new character that they were pitching me on. Oh, there's this character, Kronk. Oh, my spinach puffs. Remember him? There's a lot of memes out there. Oh, right, the poison for Cusco. Cusco's poison? You probably don't hear that line a lot in chapel. When I heard Patrick Warburton's voice, I was immediately like, yes, that's the one. So they gave me, I could have done Morph in Treasure Planet or Kronk in Emperor's New Groove, and I said yes to that. And it was great to have a choice, but there really was no choice after I heard Patrick Warburton's voice. And I loved working on this film. And yeah, at here, I'm probably 31, 32 by this point. So still very young, but having now directed a feature film at Disney, having supervised Pumbaa, worked on all these other Disney films during the 90s, I was back in animation. I felt like I was on top of the world. I really did. And I thought, well, I'll do this, and then surely Disney will have another directing gig for me or something, and I'll go on to the next film. And I had this vision of just the nine old men of Disney. There was these great classic animators that lived their whole lives. They worked for Disney for 50 years and got all these stock options and bonuses and just lived the perfect life in my mind. Those were the idols that I had in my mind and the examples that I wanted to become. But then God called. It was that moment. It was that moment as a child I was horrified of. It finally came and God was like, I want you. I woke up one morning and it was really literally just feeling like there was this word that was spoken over me while I was dreaming that I clearly felt like God wanted me to leave Disney and start my own animation company, which was something I flirted with while at CalArts, while I was in school, this idea of running my own studio and for God's purposes. And then I kind of put that aside. I'm like, no, I'm at Disney now, and I'm having success, and I'm rising through the ladder. I'm going up the ladder, all that kind of stuff. And I started to realize that, no, maybe God gave me all that for something else. And so this was a big moment. And this was one of those things that I went home and I told my wife. I said, honey, I really feel like, I've been thinking about it for a week now, but I really feel like God is calling me away from Disney, away from our big number contract and all that, making all the money and having the big house, to leave and start over again and have our own animation company. And she's like, God ain't telling me that. Nope, I haven't heard that word at all. I think we should rethink that. I think we should go back to sleep and rethink, have another dream. I don't know. And I was like, oof, well, I was pretty sure about that. But we gave it some time. I wanted her to feel as confident about God's leading in my heart. I wanted her to have that leading. So I started praying. She started praying. And she came back to me in really about a week or so and said, God won't let me go. God's saying the same thing. He's saying, yes, he's confirmed, you know, what he's been telling you to me. And I knew that was real. And so I'd left Disney. I got out of I had an 8-year contract, which is like something that doesn't happen anymore. I had like an 8-year contract to direct and stuff like that. And I negotiated out of the contract, which all my friends at Disney thought was ridiculous. What are you doing? You know, you got this gravy train kind of life already set up at Disney. And I'm like, yeah, but I really want to make this my own studio. And we're going to make faith-based cartoons. We're going to call it Toonacious Family Entertainment. And I band together with two other guys that went to my church at the time. And we formed a little brotherhood, a Christian brotherhood of an animation company that was going to do faith-based content. Our first project was called Lenny and Sid, those little characters right there. And we started off on fundraising, and it was amazing. It was amazing, the start that we had. We finished our business plan. We started going out to fundraising. I'm like, I could talk about being a Disney director, and I have all this experience now and all this kind of stuff. And we went to the very first investor, said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. I love it. He was a Christian, real estate, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, yeah, I believe it. I love it. And then 9/11 happened. Boom. The next day, right after that first meeting, and all of our other meetings with investors got canceled. And that same investor, thankfully, came back to us and he said, doesn't matter, I'm still going to do it. And we were like, what? We were like, what? Yeah, that's crazy. And so we went on this venture now with his support. But after we produced our own video series for a little while, but after 7 years of being out there, the business started to change. You know, 9/11, the housing collapse, everything, the financial condition of the U.S. in general and the world started to fall apart, and it caught up to us, including our investor who was the first one in. He went away, and he dropped out. And all of a sudden, we were struggling. I was struggling. I felt like I was out there in the world on my own with three kids and a mortgage and financial ruin. This was a low point for me. And I felt so confirmed. God, I finally gave in to you. I followed a calling. You said you wanted me to do this. And when I did it, I didn't have the success that I had at Disney. I had a lot of failure. At least from the world's perspective, right? There's the world's perspective on what is success, and there's God's understanding of what is success and his hopes and dreams for us, his pathway for us. I was still starting my journey, and I thought it was over. And so the next chapter started for me, and it peaked with, where am I at here? Oh, okay, I'm going to keep going. I got a little timer here. It peaked when I started to go, okay, maybe it's not about me. This is all about Disney. Disney. Woo, Freudian slip there. This is all about God. This is all about
You see what I did there. And this is all about God, this journey that I'm on. This is not about me. This is not what I consider success. I thought I was going to beat out, in our Christian company, VeggieTales. We're going to take them on, and we're going to be the top thing. Yeah, silly, right? She's laughing up here like, that's ridiculous. Everybody loves VeggieTales. Thank you. But I was like, okay, well, I'm starting over. We've lost everything. We lost our house. We lost our car. We lost all of our savings that we had for our kids, for school, and all that kind of stuff. We put everything into Tunacious, and it failed. And I was questioning God, what next? God had a plan. I started to understand that. It took time. There was hurt. There was even anger at certain times where I felt like, God, I did this for you. Why? And yet he started bringing other opportunities to me. I started getting into the independent market of animation, and I created Animal Crackers, which premiered in 2020, right when COVID hit. It was like the best time to have a movie on Netflix. And all of a sudden it was like, everybody's watching. Everybody's staying home and watching cartoons. Why not? And so we did Animal Crackers, and we had an all-star cast in it. Many of you probably haven't seen this movie. It goes back a little ways, but it's still on Netflix. You could check it out. John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Ian McKellen was our villain. We had Raven Simone, Sylvester Stallone, and Danny DeVito. Patrick Warburton, he's not up there, but I brought him back to do a voice for that also. It was great. It was great. It was one of the best experiences that I had had. And I'll just buzz through some of these. And then more and more opportunities were coming my way. And to provide for my family and feel fulfilled as an artist, like Space Jam, A New Legacy, or I worked on Mary Poppins Returns, you know, the little animation that's in the middle of that, if you saw that movie. I worked on that. And then there was Disenchanted, the sequel to Enchanted. It is the worst sequel. It's not... I will say, but I like my part on it. I did a little Chipmunks in it. It was fun. And some other wild projects, you know. They're not all bangers, but, you know, they were really fun to work on and very challenging and paid the bills. And I got to work on, you know, my other dream besides Disney was to work on Looney Tunes characters. And I've done two pictures with Bugs and Porky and all those guys. And I also got to work on Once Upon a Studio, which was Disney called me up and said, we want you to come back and animate a scene of Pumbaa and Timon from The Lion King in that short. And what an honor that it felt like, kind of full circle moment for me. I really love that. My brother and I started over 11, 12 years ago, started our own podcast, the Bancroft Brothers Animation Podcast. We have all kinds of people on this, but this is where I could start to talk about my own feelings, not only about animation, not only about where I see animation going or entertainment, but also I could speak about my history. I could speak about God being in my life, and the purpose that I now felt has changed. Now I feel like this is my ministry. I realize it took me a long time. It seems very obvious now, but in retrospect, but this is my ministry. This was my calling. It wasn't going to build and do construction in Uganda or some foreign area that I didn't understand and do things that weren't really my skill sets and I didn't feel it. No, God had given me the passion of my heart for a reason. I believe that that God gives us these passions as a way of helping us to understand very clearly, this is how I want you to go. And so the thing that I love to do the most is the thing that he called me to. And it took me almost my whole life. That's why I say from this point of view, looking out at you guys, all you students, is that feel those stirrings from God. Understand those passions. Make those passions an understanding of purpose, because he does have a purpose for all of you. He's made you special. He's made you unique. He's made you as a vessel for his service and his glory. And what better place to be? I realized in my darkest times that I wasn't alone at all when I was going through financial failure and things like that. I realized that God was with me all along. God had me on the course that he wanted for me. All those things that I learned and had to go through in a very difficult way during the trials and tribulations of the downside of my life after Mulan, after Disney, were things that grew me and strengthened me for what I would become, a podcaster, a teacher at Lipscomb University. And now my brother and I started Animation Y'all Expo, which is like the biggest thing now in Tennessee. We're in year two. We just finished it last weekend, as a matter of fact, and then came out here. So I'm a little exhausted. But we had over 1,200 people on the Lipscomb campus all talking about animation, and a bunch of Christians too. There's a, you know, we're forward facing of Professional Animation Expo. But what we are underneath is a group of Christians. There's a ton of us that are Christians that wants to expand the Word of God through the kind of movies that we make. I had that opportunity. I never thought it would come. It took 30 years of me working in the industry. But when I was able to work on this film, Light of the World, showing later today, there's a little commercial there, screening today at 4 p.m. in Miller Center. Light of the World, the story of Jesus, was something that I never thought I'd be a part of. So even God had to bring me full circle around to go, okay, this is what it was all about. And I really feel, when I was working on this, and my twin brother Tom co-directed it, yes, he got to be my boss this time. I was the animation supervisor and had a story on it, but he was my boss. Now we're working together on something, using our talents and abilities that God had given us directly for his glory. And this film, it did come out in theaters last year for a short time, but now it's going out with ministries all over the world. It's being translated in, like, I don't know, over 100 different dialects and languages. It's going to go out and be an influence just like the original Jesus movie of the 1970s, if you know about the history of that. But it's animated, and it's a fresh new view of, well, not like we're making up the Bible here. It is biblically based, but it's going to go out into the world to reach a lot of people for Christ. And it's 2D animation, and it's cartoon characters, and it's what I love to do, which is drawing and creating characters. And so I feel like my world has come all the way around, and I'm just amazed at what God has given me and what he's shown me. So I just want to say, find your ministry, and it'll help you to have peace in your life. It really will, and I know it has for me. All right, you guys, go out into this world and make a difference. You can be game changers, not only for Asbury and be an influence for them, but for God himself. So I hope you do, and I hope I continue to do that too, and maybe we can even work on a cartoon together. Wouldn't that be fun? All right, let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you so very much for these students that are here, that are on the precipice of going out into the world. And even though they may feel anxious, they may feel a lot of different things, Lord, about what that means, and even excitement, Lord, that you just help them to boldly go forward into the world to make a difference and to change lives for you and your glory. Lord, I just thank you for my life and how you've shown me completely, Lord, that I can be used in even just drawing funny cartoons, Lord, to serve you and to change people's hearts and minds for you and your direction. Thank you for Asbury College and for the mission that they have here too. I thank you for this day and for the film festival that we're going to enjoy. Thank you for our creative arts and our talents that you've given us, and may we use them for you and your glory now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.